The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. Quorum is present. Good afternoon, members. Welcome to the first committee hearing of the 2021-2022 legislative session. I'd like to ask everyone to just say a word or two about their district or, you know, something that they'd like to share with the committee as a way to get to know each other. Rules is a strange animal of a committee. We won't be spending hours and hours together unless something goes terribly wrong. And we will get to know each other in, you know, 3-minute increments or so. So I'm just going to go based on the order I see on my screen. I think it's great for members and staff to introduce themselves just to get a better sense of who's who here. And so I'm going to start with Representative Olson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Bjorn Olson. I'm from District 23A, and I actually live 3 blocks away from the state of Iowa.
Representative Olson, do you live on Mondale Avenue?
I actually live in Walter Mondale's house where he grew up as a kid. And in 1984, when he announced his presidential bid, he actually stood on the back porch of the house that I live in.
This is just in my order. Mr. Young, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm Troy Young. I'm the research director for the House Republican Caucus. I live in Farmington, which is District 58B, where I'm misrepresented by Representative Pat Garofalo.
Mr. McCormick.
Pat McCormick, and I'm director of House Research and the staffer for the Rules Committee.
Representative Herr.
Good morning, everybody. Afternoon, Representative Herr, District 64A in St. Paul, and the governor is my constituent.
Representative Jordan.
Hey everyone, I'm Sydney Jordan. I represent 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como. And it's the wonderful Mississippi River going right through my district, and it's a great place to be. You're welcome anytime.
Representative
Mr. Chair, could I suggest, just as to be helpful, just because we're all learning, these freshman members, if they could tell us who their predecessor was, that always helps us. Just a suggestion.
Representative Dowd, I will take that as a friendly amendment to the agenda. Representative Pawlowski.
I'm just a retired social studies teacher from Winona.
And Representative Pawlowski, who did you replace in the legislature?
I replaced me several times.
Representative Egbaje.
Hi, everyone. My name is Esther Egbaje. I am representing District 59B, which used to be held by Woody Dean. So parts of downtown Minneapolis and North Minneapolis.
Representative Barr.
Representative Barr, 31B, which is North Anoka County. About 3 terms ago, I guess I replaced Tom Hackbarth.
Representative Long.
Representative Long, represent District 61B, Southwest Minneapolis, which is parts of Uptown and the areas around Lake Harriet and Bede-McCoskey. And I replaced Justice Paul Thiessen.
Leader Dowd.
Thank you. Obviously, Kurt Dowd, I'm currently serve as the minority leader in the House. I'm just starting my 6th term, and thank you for entertaining that. Sometimes it's more difficult, especially with this virtual world, for us to get to know the new members who are on the other side of the aisle, which is super important that we get to know each other better, and I think that helps with a better relationship. So just suggested that, so it helps us put together what part of the state you're from and which person you replace. So appreciate your going along with that.
Representative Pryor.
Great. Hi, I'm Lori Pryor. I represent District 48A, which is Southern Minnetonka, Northern Eden Prairie. I am replacing myself. I'm not getting a new picture, though, even though I know at this point the hair is a little different, but I'm hoping to get back to the way I used to look. And that would have been, this is my 3rd term right now.
Representative Wolgamott.
Good afternoon, Rules Committee. My name is Dan Wolgamott, and I'm very proud to be starting my 2nd term representing District 14B, which includes North St. Cloud, East St. Cloud, and Minden and Haven Townships. I played offensive line at St. John's University, mostly left tackle, but sometimes left guard, And now I am a ninth grade football coach at Stock Rapids Rice.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Barb Haley. I represent Red Wing, Lake City, Cannon Falls, and down to Wabasha on the widest point of the Mississippi River of its entire length of our country. It's called Lake Pepin.
Representative Lilly.
Hi, everyone. Representative Leon Lilly. I represent three East Metro communities, North St. Paul, Maplewood, and Oakdale. I didn't play college football. College soccer, does that count?
Depends on the district, Representative Lilly. Okay. Representative Moran. You are muted.
I was waiting for that too, darn it. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rena Moran. I represent District 65A here in St. Paul. And I am in my sixth term in the legislature in representing the historical Rondo community in St. Paul.
Mr. Blauvelt.
Will Blauvelt, Minnetonka resident and committee administrator for Rules.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Brindley is new. That's my exciting news. I represent most of Chisago County, the areas of Taylor's Falls, Lindstrom, Wyoming, North Branch, and sort of everything in between, a number of townships as well. And Brindley was just added to my name all across the board.
Mr. Hansen.
My name is Gavin Hansen, and I'm the legislative director for the House Republican Caucus.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Nash, representing 47A Western Carver County. Live in the beautiful city of Waconia, and I have just started my fourth term in the legislature.
Ms. Vang.
New Vang. I'm from Richfield, Minnesota, and I'm LA and CLA to Chair Winkler.
And Mr. Haydorn.
Hello, I'm Sean Haydorn with DFL Research. I just moved from Representative Herr's district into Representative Pryor's district with my fiance.
All right, well, thank you. That's the members and staff. We also have a number of testifiers who will be identifying themselves as we go through this. Have I missed any member or staff as I've gone through the list who are assigned more or less to the Rules Committee permanently? Okay, I don't see anybody. So just a heads up on the kind of order today. We have a number of House resolutions and policies to adopt, most of which should be non-controversial housekeeping types of things. We'll have House Controller, House Public Information, Sergeant-at-Arms, and our HR director review those policies. We posted a proposed set of amendments to the House rules. Our intention in consultation with Leader Dowd and in response to concerns raised by Representative Drozdowski on the floor yesterday, our intention is to adopt these rules on a temporary basis to establish the committees, to try to limit the amendments that we are discussing today, and that next week we will have a Rules Committee meeting on a permanent set of rules, and we will have a debate next week on permanent rules of the House. But we want to give ourselves a little bit of time to work through some issues that have been brought forward as amendments and to try to resolve them in a way that is more to the satisfaction of the chief clerk and will help make the rules more consistent. So obviously, members who have submitted amendments, those will be in order, but I just wanted to share with you that our goal is to just get committees going today and tomorrow, and that we will return to a full discussion of permanent rules next week. And you have my commitment as chair of this committee and majority leader of the House that we will be doing that next week in consultation with both caucuses. So on that basis, we're going to start with policies related to HR. We have three from Ms. Knight will present. We're going to start with the 2021 P1 policy. Ms. Knight, if you could identify yourself for the record and explain that policy, then we will proceed to a motion for adoption.
Thank you, members. And my name is Kelly Knight. I'm the Director of Human Resources for the House. The P1 policy is a policy on our service award program. The House recognizes staff after 2 years and then every subsequent 5 years after that.
I will move adoption of the 2021 P1 policy. Is there any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the P1 policy is adopted. Ms. Knight, could you please present the P2 policy?
Yes. Members, 2021 P2 is a policy on donated vacation time. This allows staff to donate up to 40 hours of their accrued vacation, comp time, or non-exempt overtime to benefit another House employee who is seriously ill and has been out for at least 6 consecutive weeks.
I will move adoption of the 2021 P2 policy. Any discussion to that motion? Representative Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. I was when I read through that, the hours that a person could accept seemed like a really odd number. Could you explain where that number came from, please?
Ms. Knight?
Yes, Representative Barr and members, the 1044 represents 6 months.
Representative Barr?
Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Knight, 6 months, the math was off because it's 40, the extra 4 hours in there, 1040 would be in a full work week. So there was 4 hours over a full work week. So that's where that extra 4 hours is what I was kind of wondering how that came up.
Ms. Knight?
Representative Barr and members, with 365 days, the state uses 2088 for an annual hours. So this represents the similar policy that the executive branch has.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. Any further discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 2021 P2 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say aye. No. Motion prevails and the 2021 P2 policy is adopted. Ms. Knight, if you could please proceed to the P3.
Members, 2021 P3 is the House's policy on compensation time and their time card policy. And this goes through not only the work hours, but also goes through how compensatory time works for exempt employees and how non-exempt overtime works for, or non-exempt and temporary employees are eligible for summer hours.
Okay, I will move adoption of the 2021 P3 policy. Discussion to that motion. Representative Jordan, you had raised something with me before. I wondered if you wanted to address that.
Yes, sorry. I'm having a moment where I can't find the raise hand function. Yes, I was wondering if we, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if there was a little bit of clarification on the 4 hours per pay period that employees are required to work before accruing comp time. Can you walk me through some of the thinking and the reasons behind that, Ms. Knight?
Ms. Knight?
Yes. Representative Jordan and members, yes, with all staff positions, the theory is that we're all expected to work some overtime. And so the theory is that staff are required to work 4 hours over before they start earning compensatory time.
Anything further, Representative Jordan?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Ms. Knight, can you talk to me why those 4 hours are unpaid and then after or do not count for accrual of comp time, and why beyond that if staff are required? But it just seems odd that seems a bit odd to me that we are requiring this 4 hours unpaid when, or with the comp time when comp time can be accrued afterwards. So it's just an expectation that staff have, or I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused here.
Ms. Knight.
Representative Jordan and members, it has been as high as 8 hours, and it was lowered maybe a few years ago to the 4 hour threshold. So it certainly can be changed, but the theory was that as an exempt employee, staff are required to work at times additional hours, but that there is some threshold at which they would begin to earn comp time.
And Ms. Representative Jordan, Ms. Knight, we can continue to have that conversation about changing that at some point in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Knight.
Any further discussion to the P3 policy? I know that there's a little trouble with the raise hand function, so if you gesticulate or break in at some point here before we get the raise hand function working, I won't find that out of order. But I don't see anybody trying to do that. And so on the adoption of the 2021 P3 policy, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 No. The motion prevails and the 2021 P3 policy is adopted. Next up is 2021 P4. And we will have House Controller Barb Julek present. Ms. Julek, if you could identify yourself for the record and please proceed.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, my name is Barb Julek. I'm the Controller for the House and Department Director for the Budget and Accounting Office. The first policy resolution from me is P4. This is the policy and payment of per diem during interims, a longstanding policy for the House. This allows interim per diems for interim or for living expenses incurred by members when conducting legislative business outside of session for the activities prescribed in lines 8 through 18. When these per diems are paid out under these items, they are tracked either as part of a committee budget or a majority or minority budget. In addition, starting at line 23, this policy allows up to 15 days of interim per diem for the purpose of conducting legislative business at the state office building or state capitol. And these are tracked as part of the general operating budget. For members who live more than 50 miles from the capitol, they are allowed mileage to and from the capitol for these interim days, as well as up to 10 travel days in overnight lodging. No changes from the past on this.
Okay, I will move adoption of the 2021 P4 policy. Discussion to that motion or questions from Ms. Julek? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the P4, please say aye.
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 Aye. No. The motion prevails and the 2021 P4 policy is adopted. I'm going to next move on to the 2021 P6 policy on photographs and digital images. If Mr. LaGrave could please identify yourself for the record and explain that policy.
I'm Barry LaGrave, Director of the Nonpartisan House Public Information Services Office. This policy on photographs and digital images is about members' access and use of photos taken by House staff. The first portion through line 17 just relates to getting printed copies and access to the digital files. Beginning on page 1 at line 18 through the rest of the policy is related to use of photos for campaign for local or statewide office. There's some per print or per image fees. Beginning on line 3, page 2 is for digital images, members can pay a annual or a biennium fee for access to all of their images. And then the last few lines, 7 through 9 on the policy relate to payment to budget and accounting for that optional annual or biennium fee.
Okay, I move adoption of the 2021 policy. Any discussion to that motion? And members, if the participants, raise hand function is not working. So if you wish to be recognized, you can use the chat function and let us know. And for Representative Nash, since you were on the phone, I guess you will just unmute yourself and let us know you want to talk. So use the chat function at this point. So, but I see no member seeking recognition. All those in favor of the adoption of the P6 policy, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the P6 policy is adopted. Next on the agenda is 2021 P7 emergency telecommuting policy. Ms. Knight, if you could explain that policy.
Members, the 2021 P7 policy is an extension of the emergency telecommuting policy that we had put in earlier in 2020. And this is just reinstating it as of January 1st, 2021.
Okay, I will move adoption of the 2021 P7 policy. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the P7 policy is adopted. Next up is 2021 R1 resolution on the House chaplain. Ms. Julek, if you could present that.
Mr. Chair and members, Barb Julek again. So the R1 resolution on the chaplain just sets a compensation for a House chaplain at $35 a day. And no changes from the past.
I will move adoption of the 2021 R1 resolution. Any discussion to that motion? Representative Barr. You are muted, Representative Barr.
Sorry. Mr. Chair, and Ms. Julek, do we have a House chaplain right now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barr.
Ms. Julek.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Barr. We have people who come in. So to the extent someone's coming in as a guest chaplain, they get the $35 a day. If we had an official House chaplain, they would qualify for the honorarium of $2,000. My understanding is we do not have an official House chaplain. Therefore, we have not paid on the $2,000 honorarium.
I'm good.
Thank you, Representative Barr. Further discussion to the R1 resolution. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the R1 resolution is adopted. Next up, Ms. Julek, is R2, leadership compensation.
Mr. Chair, members, this resolution allows the House to pay three leadership positions up to 140% of the legislative salary. Those three positions defined in statute are the Speaker, the Chair of the Committee of Rules Administration, and the Minority Leaders. So this would continue that practice.
Is there a motion to adopt the R2 resolution on leadership compensation?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the R2.
Representative Lilly moves the R2. Discussion to that resolution. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the R2 resolution is adopted. Ms. Julek, if you could then proceed to the R3.
Mr. Chair, members, R3, bit of a longer one. This allows for various expenditure reimbursements for the members, starting on page 2, line 10, relates to housing allowances for members living greater than 50 miles from the Capitol. This maintains past allowance at $1,800 a month, or $32,400 for the two-year term, which is equivalent to 18 months, with the exception for leadership and chair positions. So that's that. Moving on to page 2, lines 15 through 19. Page 2, lines 12 through 25 authorizes travel reimbursement for members greater than 50 miles from the Capitol. There is some slight clarification language in here on lines 16 through 18 regarding members who choose to do air transportation versus vehicle transportation, just allowing for ground transportation to and from the airports, as long as that air transportation is less of a cost than a driving in would be. Starting page 2, line 26 through page 3, line 3 offers reimbursement for hotel stays when you're at a conference. That is capped at $150 per night. No changes there from the past. Continuing on, page 4, lines 4 through 16 allow
Members, I believe we've lost Ms. Julek, so we will, we don't have that resolution before us in the form of a motion yet. So I will move on to the R4 resolution on members' personalized stationary allocation and ask Mr. Meyerson to present that, and we'll return to the prior resolution when we retain Ms. Julek. Mr. Meyerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Bob Meyerson. I'm the Chief Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Meyerson, if you could get a little closer to your microphone, I have a hard time hearing you.
Okay, how is that? I'll yell.
Much better.
Thank you. Hi, Mr. Chair, committee members. For the record, my name is Bob Meyerson. I'm the Chief Sergeant of Arms for the House. And the R4 is regarding personalized stationary allocation for House members. This is the same as we have had over the last biennium and essentially governs the amount of stationery that is authorized for members through House purchase. And this is coordinated with the controller's office. And there's no significant, or there is no changes from last year's.
Okay, the chair moves adoption of the 2021 R4 resolution. Is there any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the R4 resolution is adopted. It's my understanding that we have Ms. Julek back. And so Ms. Julek, if you could continue with your explanation of the R3 resolution.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I believe I was on page 3, starting line 17 through 19. This requires pre-approval of all out-of-state travels, no change there. Lines 20 through 29 allows for reimbursement of actual expenditures incurred when conducting legislative business through the reimbursement process, no changes there. Page 4, lines 1 through 4 just states that there's no food reimbursements on days you receive per diems. And lines 5 through 10 provides mileage and other expense reimbursement for members elect who attended orientation meetings in preparation for this upcoming sessions. And then lines 11 through 14 authorizes per diem at $66 a day, no change from the past.
The chair moves adoption of the 2021 R3 resolution. Discussion to that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say aye. No. The motion prevails and the 2021 R3 resolution is adopted. Mr. Meyerson, you're back up with the 2021 R5 resolution on postage.
Mr. Chair and members, the R5 resolution is regarding postage allotment for all members, caucuses and departments, and the reporting requirements for the sergeant's office. There have been no changes from last year in regards to this
matter. Chair moves adoption of the 2021 R5 resolution.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Yeah, Representative Jordan, the motion's before us, and so now your question is to the motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair. On line 21 on page 1, it says January 2018. Should that be January of a different date, or is that correct that it's January of 2018?
Mr. Meyerson.
That is correct. That should be adjusted to reflect January 2022.
The chair will incorporate the change in that date into the motion for adoption. Any further discussion to that motion? Okay, so the question before the committee is adoption of the of the 2021 R5 resolution as amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the R5 resolution on postage is adopted. Next up is 2021 R6A resolution on reimbursement of member communications. Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair, members, R6 allows reimbursement for member communications expenses up to $125 per month for items outlined on lines 9 through 12. Members have the option to take this as a tax benefit with no documentation or to request reimbursement of actual cost and then get reimbursed up to $125 of actual cost. There are new lines added, lines 22 through 26, which will allow members who choose to purchase communication licenses via a Zoom license that will allow them to have meetings with their constituents or others for more than 48 minutes. That would be reimbursable up to actual cost, but no more than $20 per month through this session. So for the months of January through June, this added language would allow members to seek reimbursement for that monthly subscription for a Zoom Pro license.
Okay, the chair moves adoption of the 2021 R6A resolution. Discussion to that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the R6A resolution is adopted. Next up is 2021 R7 alcohol consumption. Ms. Knight.
Yes, members, the 2021 R7 resolution on alcohol consumption prohibits alcohol consumption in any house controlled space in the state office building.
All right, the chair moves adoption of the 2021 R7 resolution on alcohol consumption. Discussion to that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the R7 resolution is adopted. Next up, 2021 R8 resolution on photographic equipment usage credit. Mr. LeGrave, if you could please explain that resolution.
Once again, Barry LeGrave from House Public Information Services. This is an annual resolution. The photographers are required to use some of their personal photography equipment for house purposes. And there are statements in the second paragraph about the lenses they need, the electronic flash units. They are reimbursed $2,000 each, paid on a quarterly basis through budget and accounting. This is a continuing resolution we've had every biennium.
Okay, chair moves adoption of the 2021 R8 resolution. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails and the R8 resolution is adopted. We're getting there, members. 2021 R9, emergency sick leave during widespread illness. Ms. Knight, if you could please present that.
Yeah. Members, the 2021 R9 resolution is on emergency sick leave during widespread illness. The House put this into place with COVID-19, and it allows eligible employees to go negative in their sick leave balance, but they first must exhaust both their sick leave balance and their sick bank.
Okay, chair moves adoption of the 2021 R9 resolution. Discussion to that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion prevails, the R9 resolution is adopted. 2021 R10, resolution on employee communication stipends. Ms. Knight.
Members, the 2021 R10 communications stipends resolution, this is a resolution that was put into place last summer to recognize staff that are using their own technology and having to purchase additional bandwidth at home while remote working. And the amount was $125 a month, and that was split between the two pay periods. The one change to this is that for temporary employees, they would be eligible if their department director requests the reimbursement for them or the stipend for them. And there are two conditions. One, they either have to be able to perform their entire job remotely, or they would have to be able to perform it in a combination of remote and on-site work. It would not be available for staff who are for temporary staff who are performing their duties solely on site.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. So the chair moves adoption of the 2021 R10 resolution on employee communication stipends. Discussion to that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the 2021 R10 resolution is adopted. Next up is the 2021 P5H policy on public health and safety in response to COVID-19. Ms. Knight and I have Mr. Murphy, the clerk, as a presenter, but I'm not sure if he will be doing so. So Ms. Knight, if you could present.
Members, this is a, we were asked, staff was asked to develop a policy that mirrored the speaker's memo regarding public health and safety in the state office building and the Capitol. And I worked with Patrick McCormick and other staff to develop this. It requires that all members and employees must wear a mask when on legislative business, and the only exception is if an employee or member, if they are in their office with the door closed, a private office with the door closed by themselves, then they are able to remove their mask. It also indicates that no House employee shall be allowed in the chamber, House committee rooms, meeting space, or any other space controlled by the House in the Capitol or the state office building if there is anyone present that is not properly wearing a mask.
Thank you, Ms. Knight, for the presentation. Chair moves adoption of the 2021 P5H policy. Discussion to that motion.
Does this limit, Mr. Chair?
Representative Dowd.
Thank you. Does this limit when somebody's actually speaking in their microphone on the House floor? I do believe there should be an exception for that. Our governor, in fact, when he is doing a press conference, does not wear a mask when he's speaking into a microphone in that room. So it's his executive order. I think it'd be safe for us to follow his lead. And I think the masks make it difficult to hear what people are saying on the House floor. We do actually, this actually wouldn't apply to a lot of people because we're limiting the number of people that are actually on the House floor. Those that are joining from home aren't wearing a mask when they're speaking. So I think there should be an exception for that.
Representative Dowd, I can tell you that much of the concern related to this mask requirement comes from our front desk staff in the House chamber. And I think we are safer having a uniform rule that can be applied uniformly. I think if we can develop informally a mechanism for people to be able to speak in the chamber without wearing a mask in certain areas or under certain conditions, I think we're open to figuring out a way to do that safely. But to have the rule be blanket, you can speak in the chamber without a mask on, I think would make I don't want to speak for them. And I don't want to put them up as a reason for doing so, but I think it would be consistent with public health guidelines that we wouldn't just eliminate the mask requirement when speaking, but we could work to find a way to do it safely within that space.
I'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Representative Dowd. Further discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the 2021 P5H policy, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the 2021 P5H policy is adopted. The next item on the agenda, members, is adoption of temporary rules. And as I stated at the beginning, our intention is to make these temporary and to return to a discussion of permanent rules next week with a hearing in this committee and a full opportunity for discussion and amendments on the House floor next week. So the first motion I have is to adopt the temporary rules of the House as amended. The amendment that we provided for you has a number of provisions in them that are changing the current version of the rules. I'm going to walk through those briefly, and then I will be removing certain items as we go along. And so I'll ask Mr. McCormick to note down author's amendments as we move through this document. So I am referring to the reviser document number 21-01240. The first set of changes is on line 2.9 through 2.26. We are striking the names of the major appropriation bills and replacing them with different names that align with committee titles. That is just essentially how we change the name of the committees and reallocate the committee roles through each legislative session. I had a late-breaking request from Representative Hortman to change two of the titles. And so Mr. McCormick, on line 3.14, it should state the State Government Finance and Elections Bill. That's just to reflect a change, added name in the committee. And so, Mr. McCormick, do you have that change in 3.14?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Proceeding down the bill, or the changes, we get to lines 4.13 through 4.34. Those changes are to reflect the fact that the Government Operations Committee no longer exists after we adopt these rules, so a mandatory committee stop related to state government boards, et cetera, and related to rulemaking is no longer in order because the committee does not exist. So we will be eliminating the GovOps committee and the mandatory stop. The next section of changes are lines 4.35 through 5.14. That relates to bills affecting government data practices. And after discussion with the chair of the Judiciary and Civil Law Committee and Representative Dowd, I am going to strike those changes. So lines, and I believe, Mr. McCormick, you were informed of this, and you have the change so that 4.35 through 5.14 will not be part of my motion, and the civil law and data practices provisions will remain in effect. Is that correct, Mr. McCormick?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and we will be substituting the correct name for the committee, which is the Judiciary and Finance and Civil Law Committee.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. The next change is on lines 5.16 through 5.17. This states that a stop at a committee is optional and in the discretion of the chair. That is longstanding practice, custom and usage in the House. It's implicit in the chair's authority. And so this just puts in rule the fact that the chair can waive that stop. We've had some discussion in recent years, and it's just has seemed confusing to members. So we thought we'd make it clearer. Committees and divisions. This is the next section of changes. Lines 5.21 through 6.22, delete the old committee names. And lines 6.23 through 7.24, adopt the new committee names. And on line 7.3, Mr. McCormick, it should state State Government Finance and Elections.
Got it.
Finance and Policy. And then on line, next line is 7.6. It should strike preventative health policy division and instead state preventive health policy division. Mr. McCormick, do you have that?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The last change is to rule 10.01. This is lines 7.26 through 7.29 and line 8.10. Under the current rules of the House, this relates to remote legislative action. That is set to sunset on January 31st of this year and was subject to the executive order. We are proposing to change the rule so that remote legislative action will be permissible through the end of this biennium at the discretion of the speaker. Those are the proposed changes in front of us, and it's relatively straightforward. And the motion before us is to adopt those changes as amended by the author. We also have a number of amendments that were submitted ahead of time. And so the next order of business would be to entertain motions to adopt further amendments to the rules as we've presented them to you. I am pulling the PM Res A.01 related to Rule 4.30. That should be subject to further discussion. So I will not be offering that. I think that discussion will continue forward. I am also pulling Resolution A.06, which would amend what we're presenting to you to make these rules permanent. The intention is to keep these temporary and to return to a further discussion next week. So again, as I stated, we do have commitment from me as chair and majority leader that we will return to this next week in committee and on the floor. And at this time, it's in order for members to offer any amendments that they have to these rules as we have presented them to you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dowd.
I do have one filed also as an amendment to 4.3 that I would withdraw at this time, and then we'll talk about that issue next week.
Thank you, Representative Dowd. Further,
Mr. Chair.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, one clarifying question. As you were going through the changes, changing the name of the state government finance and elections, you referenced line 3.14. I wonder if you had intended to reference line 3.15.
We will verify that, Representative Noon Brindley. The draft I have is 3.14.
Okay, maybe I have an outdated draft.
I have complete confidence that Mr. McCormick will get it right.
Thank you.
The committee report.
Excellent. And Mr. Chair.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And because the A2 amendment relates to committee structure, I would like to move the A2 amendment.
Representative New moves the A2 amendment. To your amendment, Representative New.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that myself and many members of our caucus have some concern. Previously, we had a long-term care division, and I know the health committees, the HHS committee, has been split, and so maybe it was oversight. I'm concerned that we've eliminated the long-term care division of the HHS committee, and I think particularly right now, because of where we are in their situation with long-term care, it would really make sense to continue that division. So my amendment simply inserts that long-term care division again. And I would just make a couple of notes. One, as we debated the budget 2 years ago, significant cuts to long-term care were proposed. And as we go into this budget year, I think it makes sense to have a place dedicated to making sure that any proposals are thoroughly vetted that way. And perhaps more importantly, I would note that we all know the devastating impact that COVID-19 has had on our loved ones in long-term care facilities. Certainly our elderly populations, particularly those in congregate care settings and long-term care, have been hit harder than anyone. And we've lost a devastating number of our loved ones to COVID-19 in these settings. And I think that because of that, and as ideally, hopefully, in the coming months, the legislature will begin to take on a more active role in managing COVID again. I think it really makes sense to have that place where we are thoroughly vetting and dedicating the appropriate time that we need to, particularly now, to our long-term care settings.
Thank you, Representative New. I would like to point out that, of course, human services, which includes long-term care and health, are huge parts of the state budget, very complex. And that is part of the reason why we decided to separate those two committees into a health finance and a human services finance committee. Representative Schultz, who, of course, chaired the long-term committee last session, will be the human services chair. I know she's very committed to that issue. And that better, it also better aligns with the Senate committees. And the idea here is that, you know, we have a setup where you have the same number of committee members and staff working on an enormously complex bill as the same and the same number working on very small finance bills. And so we tried to expand the number of people who are working in this area so that we have better staff and are not quite so hard on those folks, especially at the end of session when it gets fast moving and complicated. So I have every confidence that we can continue to our focus on long-term care and probably in a better fashion than we did in the last biennium. But is there any further discussion to that motion from committee members?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to say I really appreciate Representative New Brindley. I get it. Just really highlighting the need for long-term care. And, you know, it is one, I mean, and Chair Winkler, you really did speak to the issue and what we're currently doing by dividing up the Health and Human Service committees. But I also like to state that in the House of Representatives and in the Health and Human Service Committee, we spent a lot of dollars in policies and practices on long-term care. The dollars that were sent down from the federal government that was utilized at the state level, we made investment for PCA workers. We did rate increases. We looked at long-term care through customizing, you know, looking at the rates, but also just really strong investment in the human capital part of Health and Human Service. With the federal dollars that came down, we was able to look at the Aging and Disability Resource Centers, to look at the Family Caregiver Support Programs, along with the Ombudsman Program of Title VII, piece of the Older Americans Act, supportive services under the Title III. I mean, it's just a litany of investment that we made these last 2 years on long-term care. And as you stated, Mr. Chair, that Representative Schultz will continue to make long-term care and disability service a priority within the human service department that she will chair and lead on. And so although you don't see a separate committee here, the investment that is going to go towards long-term care is and will continue to be a priority for the Health and Human Service Department committee.
Thank you, Representative Moran. Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I appreciate Representative New bringing this forward. I was the first as Speaker of the House back in 2015 to create a committee for aging and long-term care, first ever in the Minnesota House of Representatives. I think it's very important that we have a committee that focuses on just this issue and really talks about nothing but this issue. And I think the folks that are served by our long-term care facilities and the people who do such a great job taking care of our loved ones deserve to have a group of people that that really focuses just on these issues. And the issues that that affect them are so different than many of the other issues in health and human services. And so I think it's really important to have that committee, not to mention the fact that, and I appreciate Chair Moran's comments, but there was a huge cut to long-term care proposed in the last biennium. I think it was a shame. Ultimately, we were able to talk folks out of that cut and it didn't become law. But I think the investments that we have made in the last few years and the commitment of having a committee dedicated just to these folks is really, really important. And you know, well said by Representative New Brindley, but particularly even more so right now in these trying times. So I would strongly support this resolution.
Any further discussion to the resolution?
Mr. Chair, let me just make one. Thank you. Make one other short comment that, you know, House File 4661 that was brought that was introduced in the last session, you know, did not get passed. And that was like huge investment around testing and contact tracing for long-term care, testing support for staff, infection control, strike teams, nurses, triage lines, the HRD staff testing, temporary testing pool. It was a really comprehensive bill that was not supported by the Senate Republicans, which is why it did not pass. So it is a priority. It was a priority then, and it will continue to be a major priority as we work towards this recovery or this stage of this pandemic of COVID-19.
So thank you, Representative Moran. Before we turn the Rules Committee into the Long-Term Care Committee, I think we should ask Representative New Brindley to make her final comment, and then we'll proceed to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll be very brief. I appreciate the comments that would be made. I would just reemphasize what I said about the importance, particularly now. And because of that, Mr. Chair, I would request a roll call vote on this one.
Roll call having been requested, the committee legislative assistant will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Representative Agbaji.
Badger votes no.
Representative Barr.
Barr votes aye.
Representative Doubt.
Aye.
Representative Doubt, would you be able to repeat that? Sorry.
Doubt votes aye.
Aye. Representative Haley.
Haley votes aye.
Representative Herr.
Her votes no.
Representative Jordan.
Jordan votes no.
Representative Lilly.
Lilly votes no.
Representative Long.
Long votes no.
Representative Moran.
Moran votes no.
Representative Nash.
Nash votes yes.
Representative Brindley, New Brindley.
Representative New Brindley votes yes.
Representative Olson.
Olson votes yes.
Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski votes no.
Representative Pryor.
Representative Pryor votes no.
Representative Walgamott.
Walgamott votes no.
Nine votes for no, six votes for yes.
The motion does not prevail. Representative Barr, I understand that you would like to offer your motions. You're muted, Representative Barr.
I'll get this right one of these days. Could, Mr. Chair, could I offer the A4 first, please?
Representative Barr moves adoption of the A4 amendment. Representative Barr, if you could please describe it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The A4 amendment basically changes the House rule on page 2 to allow for breaking up of bills into smaller bills, but it does not allow for revenue bills. It currently reads that they may be combined or separated, and this language, the amendment would prevent them from being combined and only be being allowed to separate. This would bring much needed transparency and quite possibly help with removing a triumvirate situation like we had last budget cycle. It would bring smaller budget bills to the floor and stop, help prevent the practice of holding one piece of one party's priorities hostage to another party's priorities and bring a more clear, transparent vote so that the public can actually get a better idea of where each of the representatives stands on a particular issue.
Representative Barr, I know you've been consistent on this position in the time that I have known you in the Minnesota House. I also think the challenge is that it makes it very difficult at times to line up accounts and line up conference committees and bills with the Senate. So we have to do some mix and matching. And I know that I'm guessing anyway, maybe I shouldn't speak for her, but the chair of Ways and Means may want the flexibility to be able to match up bills and accounts at the end of session so that we can have an orderly negotiation in full light of day, transparent process in conference committee. Any further discussion to the Barr amendment? Representative Barr.
Mr. Chair, could I request a roll call, please?
Roll call having been requested and seeing no further discussion, the committee legislative assistant will take the roll. The chair votes no.
Representative Agbaji.
Agbaji votes no.
Representative Barr.
Barr votes aye.
Representative Doubt.
Doubt votes aye.
Representative Haley.
Haley votes aye.
Representative Herr.
Herr votes no.
Representative Jordan.
Jordan votes no.
Representative Lilly.
Lilly votes no.
Representative Long.
Long votes no.
Representative Moran.
Moran votes no.
Representative Nash.
Nash votes aye.
Representative New Brindley.
New Brindley votes aye.
Representative Olson.
Olson votes aye.
Representative Pulowski.
Pulowski votes no.
Representative Pryor.
Pryor votes no.
Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott votes no.
So 10 nays and 6 ayes.
Okay, the A4 amendment is not adopted. The motion does not prevail. Representative Barr, did you want to introduce your other or offer your other amendment?
Mr. Chair, I think we'll just save that one for the floor debate.
And Representative Barr, you will have an option to bring that to the committee next week in advance of the permanent rules debate on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I am not aware of any other amendments that have been posted. And I guess I will just ask if there are any further items that should be considered before we adopt this committee report and send it to the floor for adoption tomorrow. Very well. Mr. McCormick, have you incorporated the edits and amendments as we've gone through this?
Mr. Chair, I have those, and I will be preparing a committee report as soon as the hearing is ended.
Very well. Seeing no further discussion to the motion.
Beth?
I thought I heard somebody seeking recognition. Seeing no further discussion to the motion, the rules, temporary rules of the House for 2021, the motion before us is to approve those as amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the committee report can be prepared. There is one last item, members, that we can get to because of our efficiency, and that is the passage of the House staff roster and personnel reports. I will make the motion, but first ask Ms. Knight to present.
Members, each biennium, at the beginning of the biennium, we bring the employee listing for submission to rules to have the Rules Committee approve the staff roster. Also in your packet, you will see three reports in addition to the roster. That is includes the appointments, change in status, and terminations. These are all of the appointments, changes in status, and terminations that have occurred since the last time the Rules Committee approved these.
So I will move adoption of the staff roster and personnel reports. Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question is to Ms. Knight. I just wanted to ask really quick about the attachments of the data that was included. Is the data private or public information? I just, you know, I noticed that some of the documents were sent to us, but then they weren't posted on the, you know, on our website. So I just wanted to make sure I understand, you know, this information and who has access to it and who gets to see it.
Ms. Knight.
Representative Herr and members, the information, people can get the information through a public request of information through my department.
Thank you, Ms. Knight.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Dowd.
This probably isn't the right place to ask this question, but I may have missed my opportunity or forgotten to do it earlier. I apologize, but if you'll just entertain this quickly. In the past, in every 10 years, we have a redistricting committee. In the past, we've had a budget where we each caucus has had the ability to hire some additional staff to purchase computers and printers and software to help us create redistricting plans. I haven't heard word of that. We've also had office space within the building kind of dedicated for that purpose. I haven't heard of the plans on that yet, but I assume that when we went through the setting of this budget for this biennium that we took this into account because we knew it was coming. Is there a plan for additional staff and equipment for each caucus for redistricting purposes?
Representative Dowd, we will be returning to that at a future rules meeting, and we will be proceeding. We don't have a proposal for you yet. Obviously, we will be consistent to our follow the guidelines established by past redistricting years. And I think maybe Ms. Julek can address the budget aspect of that. Ms. Julek?
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Dowd. Yeah, when we adopted the budget for fiscal years 20 and 21, we did include funding for additional positions, as well as the big plotter printers, as well as hardware, software, workstations, things like that, until as on a per staff basis. So once we know the staffing levels assigned, we can establish those budgets for the caucuses.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Julek, for that. So the motion before us is to adoption of the staff roster and personnel reports. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the staff roster is adopted. I am not aware of any further business before the committee at this point in time. I want to thank you for your cooperation and look forward to a further robust discussion next week on the House permanent rules. And seeing no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.